Welcome to Bruderhof Radio, a bi-monthly program broadening the bounds of discourse on progressive thought and action. I'm your host, Andrew Zimmerman.
And of course, the United States has been a pretty vocal and consistent opponent of exploitative child labor in other countries. So if they don't take action on the problems facing child farm workers in the United States, the level of hypocrisy is very apparent and quite high.
During the large anti-globalization protests in Seattle and Washington, D.C. in the past year, one of the most common issues raised by demonstrators was the increasing use of sweatshops and child labor by multinational corporations in the Third World. While the problem of labor standards and working conditions is important and must be confronted on a global scale as the global economy grows, we must be aware that in looking so far afield, we run the risk of ignoring problems closer to home. While America may not have as many sweatshops as Southeast Asia, we do have a large migrant farm worker population whose plight is just as deplorable as any Indonesian in a Gap or Nike factory. Bringing this situation into the spotlight are two human rights reports released this summer that highlight the ongoing struggles of American farm workers, particularly children. Both Human Rights Watch and the Farm Worker Justice Fund say in recent reports that growers, farm owners, and government agencies are extremely negligent in enforcing safety and health regulations on American farms. Furthermore, these two organizations say that laws biased against agricultural workers force them to work longer hours in less safe conditions than non-agricultural workers. Children in particular suffer from this legal discrepancy. The reports allege that pesticide exposure, long working hours, and repetitive motions affect children more seriously than adults. And this problem is by no means minor. By most estimates, there are at least 500,000 farm workers under the age of 18 working in the United States. In today's program, Bruderhof Radio speaks with Lee Tucker of Human Rights Watch, an international human rights monitoring group, and Shelley Davis of the Farm Worker Justice Fund, a Washington-based group that seeks to improve the living and working conditions of migrant and seasonal farm workers throughout the United States. Lee Tucker is the author of a report titled Fingers to the Bone, United States' Failure to Protect Child Farm Workers. The report, released in June by Human Rights Watch, focused on young farm workers in Arizona, but Tucker says the problems she encountered are national in scope.
We knew that there were a large number of kids working in the fields in the United States, and we knew that there was a discrepancy in the treatment of the law regarding child farm workers and child workers in other industries. And so we started to take a look at it. Initially, we just took a preliminary look, and what we found clearly warranted a deeper investigation. And so we spent close to 2 years looking at this problem and then came out with our report, Fingers to the Bone. It's the first time we've done a report looking at child labor in the United States. We've done many reports looking at child labor issues in other countries. But what we found is that in the area of agriculture, the United States is very similar to developing countries in the conditions under which the kids are working.
Shelley Davis of the Farm Worker Justice Fund recently co-authored a report titled The Ones the Law Forgot, Children Working in Agriculture. She, like Lee Tucker, found the use of child labor on farms widespread and alarming.
Tens of thousands of children and teenagers work in agriculture, and they are not provided the kind of safe working environment that young people working in other industries are given. We wanted to highlight the fact that young agricultural workers face significant hazards to their health and that they don't get adequate legal protections. And that was really the focus of our report. So we looked at the kinds of injuries and fatalities that are suffered, and we also looked at the kinds of legal protections that were given and compared this to the situations of workers in other industries. And let me give you a couple of examples to make it more clear. In agriculture, which is one of the most hazardous industries in the entire nation. There's an estimated 23,000 injuries each year to young agricultural workers and 100 fatalities. In studies that have compared the kinds of workers' compensation claims filed by young agricultural workers to young workers in retail or fast food restaurants, they found that farm workers, young farm workers, suffer twice as many serious and disabling injuries. So that we know that they're really a significant hazard, a significant risk to their health. So you would think in that situation they would get more protection rather than less. But the opposite is the case. In all other industries, workers can't do hazardous work until they're 18 years old. In agriculture, workers at 16 can do hazardous work. And where their parents own the farm, they can be of any age. And that puts young workers at great risk. We also know that these workers aren't getting health and safety training on the job, so that they're not really prepared to take on tasks like applying pesticides or driving tractors. So they really shouldn't be doing those jobs.
We talk to kids who are working 12 to 14 hours a day, and sometimes even more. During peak harvest season, some kids work 16 hours a day. And it's grueling work, even when they're not working that many hours. Under the best of conditions, it's very difficult, grueling work, whether they're harvesting lettuce or cantaloupe bending over, or whether they're pitching watermelon, which is when they throw a watermelon down a line to get it to the truck. In all cases, it's very difficult work, and it takes place under very difficult circumstances. Often very hot temperatures. In Arizona, where we did most of our interviews, kids often were working under temperatures well above 100 degrees. And so they risk heat illness and dehydration, along with a host of other health and safety issues that we document in the report. Clearly, there's a danger for long-term workers. There's a danger of interference with proper growth, because a lot of these harvesting techniques even weeding techniques require repetitive motions of bending over, stooping, and so on.
Almost all agricultural field work is both dangerous and monotonous, not only to children, but to adults as well. Davis explains some of the most common hazards she encountered.
There are a lot of hazards on a farm. One of the biggest hazards for farm workers is just getting to and from work. Farm workers a lot of times are transported in old vans or buses. A lot of times they don't have seats, regular seats or seat belts. So that if there's an accident, the injuries are often very serious. And so one of the leading causes of fatalities among farm workers is just accidents on the road getting to and from work. And the numbers are staggering. In the last year, there have been over 100 deaths, and in the accidents, there would be like 12, 13 people killed at a time because these vans are unsafe and the government isn't requiring them to be adequately safe. So that's one of the biggest hazards. On the farm itself, there are tractors and machinery that also can be hazardous. And a lot of very serious accidents happen because machinery is unguarded or a tractor doesn't have a rollover protection bar on it. So that the kinds of injuries that occur are not things that couldn't be prevented. They're things that would just cost a few extra dollars to make them safe. And I think that's one of the reasons we are so concerned about this. We think that a lot of these accidents and a lot of these hazards are well recognized and could be prevented. Another source of risk for farm workers are the chemicals used on the farms. Pesticides used on farms include chemicals that cause cancer, that cause reproductive harm, and that cause neurological harm. Let me just give you a quick example here. The most common kinds of insecticides used on the farms for fruits and vegetables were developed from nerve gas developed for World War II. So in other words, we know that these chemicals cause brain damage, cause numbness in the limbs, cause aches, nausea. I mean, these are kinds of problems that, unfortunately, we see all too often. And it could be prevented by growers using less toxic or not toxic products. So those are the kinds of hazards. There are also falls from ladders, electrocution, drowning, animals. There are a lot of hazards on a farm. Let me just tell you as an example the case of Jose, because I think in some ways this really shows both the inadequacy of protections and the failure to live up to the requirements that there are. He was a 17-year-old farm worker who came here from Mexico with his uncle to try to earn some money for his family. He was in the United States for 2 months when he was sprayed with pesticides. But because he never got any training, he didn't know that the material he was sprayed with was a chemical. He thought it was water. And so they didn't do anything. And even though he wasn't feeling well, he just went home, went back to the labor camp, slept in those same clothes, went to work the next day. A week later, he was sprayed again, had nausea and vomiting. No one took any concern. No one realized, no one said that it was pesticides he was exposed to. The next day, riding his bike on the way to work, he collapsed and he died. So these chemicals are very dangerous, and workers need training. The growers who use these pesticides have to be sure to keep the workers out of the field. If workers get sick, they have to take them to the doctor. They have to make sure that the doctor knows that what they were exposed to is chemicals, and they have to make sure that they get the right treatment. That's the way lives can be saved.
While pesticides pose serious risks to all farm workers, the risks are particularly acute for children. In 1998, the Natural Resources Defense Council released a report called Trouble on the Farm, Growing Up with Pesticides in Agricultural Communities, a comprehensive report detailing the dangers of pesticide exposure to children. According to the report, quote, children are uniquely at risk from pesticides both because of physiological susceptibility and greater relative exposure. Their bodies cannot efficiently detoxify and eliminate chemicals because their organs are still growing and developing. Lee Tucker elaborates.
The most serious danger is that posed by pesticide exposure. And many of the kids we spoke to reported coming in contact with pesticides, although that's illegal, and growers are supposed to take steps to ensure that no one comes in contact with pesticides when the pesticides are still fresh enough to cause damage. Many of the kids we spoke to had, and they reported things including nausea and vomiting, rashes, dizziness, wheezing, very serious short-term effects, and also exposure to pesticide has very grave long-term effects, including cancer and neurological damage.
You're listening to Bruderhof Radio. We're broadening the bounds of discourse on progressive thought and action. Today, we're speaking with Lee Tucker of Human Rights Watch and Shelley Davis of the Farm Worker Justice Fund about the plight of child farm workers in America. If you've got questions or comments about this program, give us a call, toll-free, at 1-800-778-8461. Again, that's 1-800-778-8461. Beyond issues like the use of pesticides without adequate safety training, another more legal problem troubles both Shelley Davis and Lee Tucker. They say that existing labor laws discriminate against farm workers, both children and adults, by allowing them to work longer hours without overtime pay. In contrast to non-agricultural occupations, the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act imposes neither a daily nor weekly limit to the number of hours children may work in agriculture. Human Rights Watch spoke with several adolescent farm workers who worked 12 hours a day for 6 days a week, and a few who had worked 14 hours a day. Under current law, there is nothing illegal about employers extracting such long hours from children, unless the work occurs during school hours and the children are under 16. Lee Tucker.
The one thing that we emphasize in the report is the discriminatory nature of federal labor law in terms of farm workers. And I'd like to go into that a little bit. It is a very clear and blatant case of discrimination against farm workers. The Fair Labor Standards Act offers differential protection to workers depending on whether they're farm workers or work in other industries. And that's true for adults and for children. Obviously, for the purposes of this report, we were just looking at children. But children working in the field can begin working at younger ages and can work for longer hours than kids working in all other occupations. And at the same time, agriculture is the most dangerous occupation open to children. Child farm workers, children working in agriculture constitute 8% of children working in the United States, but they account for 40% of work-related fatalities among children in the United States. It's very dangerous, not just the pesticides and which we discussed, but also heavy equipment and machinery and knives and so on. It's a very dangerous industry. Under the Fair Labor Standards Act, children can begin working in the fields at the age of 12. Under very limited circumstances, they can work even younger than 12, but they can start working at the age of 12. In all other areas, children have to be at least 14. So they can start 2 years younger. And in all other areas of work, for example, at a fast food restaurant or at a warehouse, as you said, any other place of work except for newspaper delivery, basically, children are limited during the school year to working 3 hours on a school day and 18 hours total during a school week. Well, under the Fair Labor Standards Act, there's no similar restriction on children working in agriculture. So you can have a 12-year-old who works, 3 hours before school and then 5 hours after school and works a total of 40 or 50 hours a week during the school year. That would be completely legal under our current federal law. The only restriction is that children younger than 16 should not be working during school hours. That's the only restriction. And then in the summer, in all other fields, in all other areas of work, children are limited to 40 hours a week, but in agriculture there's no limit. And so you can have kids, and we talk to kids who work 70 or 80 hours a week during the summer. And of course that just exponentially increases their risk of injury, their risk of pesticide damage, their fatigue, the risk of musculoskeletal disorders as they grow. And during the school year, the fact that there's no limit on their hours contributes greatly to the high dropout rate among farm worker kids, which is 45%. Only 55% complete high school.
I think this is a legacy from the time when working on a farm was viewed as the most healthy and safe environment that one could be in. And in part it was because people worked on their family farms, but also in general because farms were smaller, and so the personal connections between the workers and the owners was greater. Now, a lot of farms, the majority of farms that employ hired farm workers, are large corporate farms, so that there could be thousands of workers on the farm, and they don't have any connection to the owner. And that breaks down the kind of concern and care that employers exercise, unfortunately.
But changing the way young farm workers are treated will take some doing. Lee Tucker of Human Rights Watch encountered strong resistance from farm owners while speaking with young farm workers and researching her report.
Well, with some exceptions, farm owners generally don't like to have outside people talking to their employees. And for our utmost concern always, of course, is the safety of the children. And for this study, I talked to all of the children off-site. I didn't interview any of the kids actually on the farm. Many of the children I spoke to had stopped working in the fields and were reporting to me their experiences of the previous year or of a few months earlier because they were no longer working. Also, we protect the confidentiality of all the children we talk to, and we don't use any photos that would demonstrate the identity of the children. This is all to be extra cautious that they would not run any risk. But the growers generally don't like to have outside people coming onto their farms. In fact, I was I went up to an area west of Phoenix, Arizona, where there is a very large, very prominent, and well-known grower who, for liability purposes, I could not name in the report. But and I spoke to a couple of girls who had worked for that very large, very well-known grower, and they reported the same kinds of health, safety, and wage violations that the other children had, pesticide exposure, sexual harassment, being cheated on their wages, et cetera. Well, in the process of being there and talking to them, the workers for the grower, in other words, not the farm workers, but like the supervisors, found out that we were there and came and ran us off the land and were very threatening to the workers and their parents that we had been speaking with. And it's not uncommon to get that kind of reaction, which, of course, only adds to one's concern that the workers really are being treated unfairly and not in accordance with the law, because there's often such a great fear and reluctance on the part of the growers to be open and transparent with reporters and other kinds of investigators.
Compounding the problems of farm workers is the fact that many are recent immigrants from Central America. With limited knowledge of English and unsure of their rights as employees, farm owners are quick to take advantage of them. Shelley Davis.
The majority of farm workers in this country are legal. They're here legally, but they are from a foreign country. So that by far the majority come from Mexico and Latin America and speak Spanish and aren't familiar with American law. They come here because they want to earn a decent living for themselves and their families. And they're willing to take pretty much any wages that the employer is willing to give them. The result is that over 60% of farm workers live in poverty in the United States. They do extremely hard jobs, work long hours, and yet they get very low wages. The problem facing farm workers, for the most part, is that they're poor, they're immigrants, they're not knowledgeable about their rights in the United States, and they're so desperate to get the work that they're willing to work under any conditions without complaining. And unfortunately, people take advantage of that and put them in the worst possible conditions and don't take adequate concern for their health and safety.
Although prospects for change may look grim, both Davis and Tucker think their reports could have a positive effect in state and federal governments.
I hope that we'll call attention to the fact that there's serious health risks out there. People are really being hurt, and this could be prevented. And in the year 2000, this is a disgrace. And I hope that we can get more safety regulation for young farm workers.
It was very encouraging and unusual that we actually received a very quick response. This report was released June 20th, and I believe on June 22nd, Alexis Herman, the Secretary of Labor, issued a statement acknowledging the need to amend the Fair Labor Standards Act to protect farm worker children equally with other children. And she and Secretary Dan Glickman of the Department of Agriculture have declared that they will work together on this issue, and they support the introduction of legislation by Senator Harkin that would rectify the currently discriminatory language in the Fair Labor Standards Act. Senator Harkin has introduced that legislation before. It was called the CARE Bill, without success. But the Department of Labor and Department of Agriculture now declare that they're behind it. Now, of course, it's unlikely that anything will happen this session. And with it being an election year, it's too early for us to say what the chances would be in the next session. However, we're very optimistic that at least there has been the acknowledgement by the administration that there is unfair and unequal legal treatment of these children and that it needs to be rectified. I should also say that one issue that helps in terms of getting visibility and perhaps getting a response from the administration is the passage last year of a new International Labor Organization convention, Convention 182, on the worst forms of child labor. And the United States administration was very vocal in pushing that convention through. And, of course, the United States has been a pretty vocal and consistent opponent of exploitative child labor in other countries. So if they don't take action on the problems facing child farm workers in the United States, the level of hypocrisy is very apparent and quite high, because given that they have been using quite powerful language encouraging other countries to protect their children. So I think that works in favor of greater protection for kids in the United States, the fact that the U.S. has been a vocal critic of other countries.
That's all for this edition of Bruderhof Radio, a look at problems facing young agricultural farm workers across America. We heard from Lee Tucker of Human Rights Watch and Shelley Davis of the Farm Worker Justice Fund. Tucker's report, Fingers to the Bone, United States' Failure to Protect Child Farm Workers, can be found on the Human Rights Watch website, www.hrw.org. Davis's study, titled The Ones the Law Forgot, Children Working in Agriculture, can be obtained from the Farm Worker Justice Fund at www.fwjustice.org. This program was produced by Andrew Zimmerman, with additional research and reporting by Ian Bart. Bruderhof Radio is a production of the Bruderhof Communities, a communal movement based on Christ's Sermon on the Mount, in particular the teachings concerning brotherly love and love of enemies, mutual service, nonviolence, and the refusal to bear arms. Money and possessions are pooled voluntarily, and in turn each member is provided for and cared for. For more information about the Bruderhof Communities and Bruderhof Radio, call 1-800-778-8461. Again, that's 1-800-778-8461.